Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Morning, church. How are we doing? So good to be with you all. You can take your seats. Amen. I like that guy. So good to be in the house, eh? It's wonderful to be back up here with you. And first off, I just want to honour Pastor Graham and Mel, your location pastors, and the whole leadership team as well. Thank you so much. I really just want to honour this front row. You're my favourite front row in all of our locations. And I've never seen singing during a video. And so, it's going to go back tomorrow morning that this front row is the greatest front row in any of our locations. So thank you for that enthusiasm, encouragement. I love seeing young people vibrant in the house of God. I cannot see any of your faces out there, but hopefully you can see mine this morning. And I can almost see you, John. It's good to see you, buddy. And it's just an honor to be up here with you. As I was driving up this morning, I rang Pastor Mark and Lee. They're in hotel quarantine, day three today, and they want to just pass on their love for you here at City Point North. They're so proud of you. And what we've accomplished this year as a church is really remarkable. And so thank you for sowing in your talents, your gifts, your time, and also your finances and great faith to come into the house of God. Well, as Mel said, we're in this great theme of an elephant in the room, and I want to share on one of the elephants. My key scripture comes from Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read from verse 3 to 5. Thank you so much, team. You are absolutely amazing. So Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away." That's good news right there, eh? And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." A number of years ago, there was a survey done, and there was one question on this survey. And the question was this: if you could ask God one question, what would that question be? And the overwhelming response to that survey question was this. One question that people would ask God is, "God, why is there pain and suffering in our world?" It was an overwhelming response. And as we look at the world around about us right now, is that we're in a time of suffering, we're in a time of pain, that there is evil, there is tragedy taking place, not just to others, but also to ourselves. And as I was considering what subject I could talk about in this theming, is there were certain events taking place around the world. We had the events unfolding in Afghanistan that same weekend. As I was considering this message, there was a massive earthquake in Haiti where thousands lost their lives. And in the world in which we live, there is pain and suffering. And the verse that I read seems so distant from our present reality. As humanity has tears flowing down their cheeks, that we are experiencing death, that there are ones with great pain in their bodies and also in their minds, is that hearts are full with sorrow and humanity is crying out, "God, can't you make all things new right now?" And so my elephant in the room is this, my title: if God is good, if God is love, if God is all powerful, then why am I in pain and suffering? Is the good news is that none of us are exempt from pain and suffering. Is that all of humanity will go through pain and suffering. As I share this message, this is not about comparing our pain to someone else's pain or our suffering to someone else's suffering. I found that pain is pain and it is painful. And I know in seasons where I have been in pain and suffering, is humanity have said some statements to me to really just to help me. They're well-intended statements to help us get through. Maybe you've heard some of these statements that have been said to me. Some have said in times of pain and suffering is that time heals all wounds. At 57 years of age, I've come to the conclusion that time does not heal all wounds. Other times people have said to me, "Is that God's got a great future and a great hope for you." And some of those people I just want to punch in the face, because when you're in pain and suffering, you don't necessarily see a great hope and a future ahead for you. Other people have said to me, "Mike, just suck it up." And sometimes that's the best advice we could ever get. Hey, just suck it up. What you're going through is, you're not your buddy. I'm with you. And then other people have said this to me, "Well, obviously, Mike, you're doing something wrong in your life. There's sin in your life and you're being punished as a result of that." I'm sure they're well-meaning statements, but there's got to be a better explanation as to why and how you and I can get through pain and suffering. I'm also very mindful today as I share this message. There may be ones here under the sound of my voice that are right now in great pain and great suffering. And I pray as I preach this message is that you would experience the great peace and the great comfort of the Holy Spirit as you come and wrap his great arms of love around about you. And so this morning I'm going to share from some of my experiences of how you and I navigate through pain and what is the cause of pain. Pain and suffering happens for a number of reasons, and I cannot go into depth in these, but maybe some great discussion points at life groups. Is that pain and suffering happens in our world because there is an enemy. There's a devil and there is demonic forces. John 10:10 says that Jesus comes to give us life and life abundant, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and also destroy. Is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says this, "For we know that we are from God and that the whole world lies under the control of the evil one." Is that the world right now as we live here, is that we are under the force of the devil and his demonic forces. Another reason why we have pain and suffering in the world is because of sin, is that we live in a fallen world, as Chris had shared so wonderfully around communion there. And you can look at Romans chapter 5 that addresses that. We now live in a place of a fallen world, and therefore sin entered the world. And because we live in a sinful and fallen world, is that pain and suffering is now inherent in humanity. Another reason why pain and suffering takes place in the world is because we actually can make really bad choices and bad decisions. Because of no one else except ourselves, as Deuteronomy says this, that God set before us life and death. And I love God that gives us answer. He gives us the answer to that multiple choice question. He says that, therefore choose life. But I have found so often that we can choose the wrong decision. And as I was preparing and researching for this message, I came across studies where researchers would say that 90% of our pain and our suffering is a result of our bad choices and bad decisions. Some of us just need to make better choices. And the fourth reason why I see there is pain and suffering through the Word of God is because of the forces of nature. Because we live in a fallen world, is that we now experience there's famines and there's earthquakes and there is hurricanes. And Matthew 24 addresses that. And so there are a number of reasons why now we live in a world full of pain and suffering. And as I consider and look through the Word of God, I can only find, six books in the whole Bible that where pain and suffering does not exist. Is the first two books of Genesis, where God creates the heavens and the earth. And then the last four books of this Bible, the last four books of Revelation, where God speaks of a new heavenly home for us. And so in amongst these pages, there is so much content around how you and I are to navigate through pain and suffering. It talks about the great peace and the great comfort that God could bring to each and every one of us in these times of pain. And so today I want to take us on a journey of how do we actually deal with pain and suffering when it comes our way. And from the outset, I want to make this statement so perfectly clear to each and every one of us, is that God is not the author and the creator of pain and suffering. Is it the devil and God, they are not equal. Is that God is in total control, 100% of the time. God is always in total control. However, in this fallen world in which we live, is that God permits pain and suffering, but he also limits pain and suffering, as we see in the life of Job. And so I want to make that clear to each and every one of us, is that God is not the author. He is not the creator of any pain or suffering, although he does permit it. But I know this about the nature of God, is that God is constantly at work. He's working behind the scenes of each and every one of our lives, working things out for good. Because God is a good God, and he is a God of love, and he is an all-powerful God. And God is constantly at work behind the scenes of your life, working things out for good. Romans 8 and 28 says this, "For we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Has anyone just quoted that scripture? It's one of the most quoted scriptures around. Like, whenever we're in difficult times, God's just going to work it out for good. We have to believe that God is constantly at work, working things out for good. I love this verse because I think it says more, it's more about what it doesn't say than what it does say. Is it doesn't say here that God is the author of our pain and suffering. It doesn't say here as to when God would cause this good to come about. Is we would all be fine if God said, well, in 7 days' time, just suck it up for 7 days and it's all going to be okay. We can endure anything that comes our way, but God does not give us a time frame as to when he is going to execute the good, whether that's in the present age or in the age to come. And it also does not say how God is going to work things out for good. But God is constantly at work behind the scenes of each and every one of our lives, working things out for good. Thank you so much, Rach. Appreciate that. You can encourage me anytime. I'm going to preach better if you encourage me, hey? And so here are some observations when we go through pain and suffering. The first one is this, is that pain and suffering cause us to question. We have questions in our pain and our suffering, and one of the questions that is asked is if God is good, if God is love, if God is all-powerful, well, why didn't he create a world where there was no pain and suffering? Well, he actually did. He created a world where there was no pain and suffering. It was perfect unity, perfect harmony, perfect love between creation and the Creator. Well, then how did pain and suffering come into the world? Really good question. Thank you for asking that. Is the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have existed together in a place of perfect love, perfect unity, perfect agreement from the beginning of time. And in that state of perfect love is that when God breathed the breath of life into humanity, into each and every one of us, he also wanted us to experience the ability to love or not to love. And in order for us to choose to love or not to love is that God had to place inside of mankind free will. The opportunity to make a choice, because love is always a choice. You cannot force someone to love you. And so God placed inside of mankind the ability to make a choice, whether to love or whether not to love, is that mankind abused the free will, they consumed the restriction that God had placed around mankind of not to consume of the fruit of that tree. But mankind took of that, and therefore sin entered the world. And so we now find ourselves in this place, a place where humanity, where the earth is groaning, Romans 8 says, under the weight of this sin that we find ourselves in. I found that when we go through painful experiences and painful times, is we want to attach blame to the pain. It was like last Saturday night. I was walking through one of the rooms of my house, and I stubbed my toe on the bottom of the lamp. Anyone ever done that? It's like, it's painful, man. I'm like, I just want to blame something. And I was like, look, there's no humans around about me, but sitting on that was the cat, my cat, like the demonic cat. And I just went off at the cat. I started to blame the cat because he made me stub my toe on the bottom of the lounge there. I gave it for the cat. I felt so much better. So much better because I could attach my pain and blame someone, something. It didn't even have anything to do with it, but I felt so much better out of that. But as humans, we want to attach blame to our pain. And so often God gets the blame for our pain. God, how could good things, how could bad things happen to good people? Or God, how come even bad things happen to godly people? And so pain and suffering causes us to question, questions of why. What? Why me? And why now? See, that there's not a problem to ask questions of God, but I found that there is a big difference between asking God questions and questioning God. We can ask questions of God, but I pray in times of pain and suffering, we'd never be in a place where we start to question God's nature and God's character and God's goodness in that place. I have found that the same God that you and I are mad at, the same God that we have questions for, is the same God that we can lean on in those times of pain and suffering. And so it's not about not having the questions. It's about leaning into God. It's not about not being mad or angry at God. They're normal human emotions that take place, and God understands that. But in that pain, would you lean in to the presence of God? There's a story of John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was the forerunner to Jesus. He came and paved the way, an incredible man, the gift of God upon his life. And we find in Matthew chapter 4, is that John finds himself in prison. We pick it up in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And after leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali." Strange passage of scripture to read, eh? But if you turn to the back of your Bibles, you'll find all those maps. And when I read this recently, I went to the maps and thought, okay, I wonder where these places are. So we don't have a picture there, but let me explain. Let's say John's in prison here, over here. Is that Jesus is in Jerusalem or in Nazareth, which is about here. Not a vast distance at all. But it says here, when Jesus heard that John, his cousin, his forerunner, was in prison, is that Jesus moved from Nazareth and he moved all the way up to Capernaum, which is up here. Up by the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus, he literally goes to the beach. Is that John's in pain. Jesus just a short little distance. But Jesus then moves from here, he goes to the beach, and he starts doing all of these incredible miracles up there by the beach. And here is John now, he's in prison, he's in pain, and his cousin and the Messiah moves to a whole different destination away from his pain. I wonder how many of you and I have been in that place where we have been in pain and we have been suffering. It's like God has moved to a whole nother direction. And God seems to be doing miracles for everybody else, and he's not even answering my prayers at all. I wonder if you have found yourself in that place where you have perceived that the presence of God is no longer with you and God is not for you because God is not answering your prayers. And John had this question as reports come back of all the great miracles that Jesus is now doing on his beach holiday, and John's in pain and John's in prison. And Luke chapter 7 picks it up in verse 18. It says, "And John's disciples told John about all of these miracles. And calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask him this question. Would you go and ask Jesus this question? Are you the one? Are you the one who's to come? Or should we expect somebody else?" I wonder how many of us are living here in our place of pain and suffering, and we're asking Jesus this question as John the Baptist was, are you really the one? Are you really the miracle worker? Are you really love? Are you really comfort? Are you really all powerful? Because my prayers are not being answered right now. Jesus' cousin, his forerunner, says, go and ask him, are you the one or should I be looking somewhere else? Because he's in pain and he's in a place of prison. I found the reason why you and I ask God, are you the one? Because when we perceive that God is absent from our lives, we take our worst experience and start comparing it to the miracles that Jesus is doing for everybody else. And we start to question, are you the one? When I look at my situation, I see what you're doing over there. As we come into church every Sunday, we hear of praise reports of what God is doing in someone else's life. And here we are, God, where are you? Is it someone's given thanks for a car park out the front of Woolies while I'm praying for my wife with cancer? And I'm saying, don't stop giving thanks to God for that car park out the front of the Woolies and Coles. That's okay. I'm not diminishing that at all. But when we start comparing my circumstance to the miracles taking place, somebody else, God, are you really the one? I want to let you know today, in amongst all of the questions that we have, and it's okay to have questions, I want to let you know He is the one. He is the one. He is the great healer. He is the great physician. He is the great comforter. He is love and He is all powerful today. Would you press in and beyond your questions and press into the character and the fullness and the nature that God has for each and every one of us? The second thing I've noticed about pain is that pain and suffering is a battleground. Is we hear the statement said to us is that we can't control what happens to us, but we can control what happens within us. It's a very true statement. And I've seen that people have different responses to different pain. Is you can take the same painful situation and you can put two people in that same painful situation and they can have a different response to that pain. Is that some people come out bitter and narrow and ungenerous, while the same person, that same similar situation, can come out stronger and wiser and more humbler and more patient with it. Is that when you and I are in times of pain and suffering, we have a choice to make. The choice as to whether we're going to run towards God or going to run from God. In times of pain and suffering, I pray that you'd run strongly into the presence of God, hey. You would immerse yourself in the presence of God. How are you going to respond when pain and suffering comes your way? Because suffering and pain is a battleground. So what makes the difference? What makes the difference between the person would run into the presence of God and the person that would back away? I have had family members and friends that have stepped out of relationship with Jesus because God didn't answer their prayers. I pray that you would stay in a relationship with Jesus in spite of Him either answering your prayers or not answering your prayers, because He is a good God, He's a God of love, and He is an all-powerful God. So what makes a difference? James 1 verse 2 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." If you go through my Bible, I got that crossed out so many times. I was like, rubbish. How do you do that? Like, count it all joy. Oh, no, God, that's stupid. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He's saying, hey, don't count it all joy for the trials. Count it all joy in the trial, hey. It'd be stupid to start giving thanks. Oh, God, just give me more pain. Give it to me. No, that's stupid. Don't be stupid. But in the midst of trials, count it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. This verse is here, it's through pain and suffering. It's not a testing of character. It's a testing of faith. God's not trying just to get our character improved. No, He's trying to, through pain and suffering, allow our faith to be increased. In there, faith is, pain and suffering is a battleground. Romans 5 verse 3 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." Again, that's crossed out many times through my Bible. Like, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So here this passage is talking about is that suffering leads to hope. And we know that hope is the foundation of faith, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I pray that you'd never, ever lose your hope that tomorrow is going to be a better day, that God can come through for you, is that pain and suffering is a battleground. I live by this statement, and I've said it so many times that I've preached over the last 20 years, is don't let anything you lose destroy what you have left. Don't let anything you lose destroy what you have left. 1 Corinthians 13 The end of that chapter says these words, and let these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Don't let anything you lose destroy those three things that are to remain in each and every one of our lives. It's a battleground. Luke 22, verse 31, the background of this passage, Jesus is talking to disciples saying, I'm going to go to the cross and there's going to be one amongst you that will deny me three times. And Luke 22 says this, and the Lord says these words, Simon, Simon, to Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And so Peter's like, I'll never deny you. We know Peter will end up denying. But here Jesus is saying, you know what, Peter, is that Satan has asked for your life and he is going to sift you like wheat. That word sift means literally he wants to tear you apart. Is the enemy's whole goal is to tear our lives apart. And here in this passage is so beautiful. The whole objective of the enemy is that when we're in times of pain and suffering, his whole objective is that we'd lose our faith. And when we're in that place, Jesus gives us another picture here, is that Jesus is praying for each and every one of us and praying these words, that their faith would not fail. And so where the enemy is ripping your life apart is that Jesus is in heavenly places praying for you, saying, I'm praying and believing your faith would remain. That in these tough times, your faith is going to remain. Don't let anything you lose destroy what you have left. And that brings great comfort to us in times of pain and suffering. We have a Heavenly Father who is on our side. We have the Son of God, the Savior of the world, praying for each and every one of us, saying, let their faith remain. Let their faith remain. Let's go back to the story of John the Baptist. John chapter 7. It goes on, the men came to Jesus and they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you this question. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. He replied to the messages and said, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Tell John these words, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. You imagine hearing this report. John's in pain, he's in prison, and Jesus is doing so many miracles up at the beach. But Jesus sends word back and says, John, I want you to let John know this. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus is saying, hey, John, don't lose the faith. So don't stumble in faith on account of me, on account of what you may perceive as a delay. And me not answering your prayer at the time you desired me to answer your prayer. Don't let that cause you to stumble and lose your faith. He's saying, John, would you hang on to your faith? Do not stumble in your journey and your pursuit of me when you even perceive that I am not with you, but I am always with you because I'm Emmanuel. God is with us. He's saying, hey, John, blessed is anyone. Blessed is each and every one of us who do not allow our circumstances, our pain, or our prison to change how we see God. Don't let anything change how you see God. The world would say this about, being blessed. You're blessed if you're healthy and wealthy. No. In the kingdom of God, God's saying, no, you are blessed if you keep the faith. If you remain in a place of faith and humility in the kingdom of God, I pray that you and I would remain in that place when there's a battleground and a fight going around about us. So we'd remain in a place of faith and trusting and believing that God can do what God can do. Jesus is saying here in this passage is that God will always keep his promise, always. But God does not promise to meet our expectations. Let me just say that again because if we grab a hold of this, we can navigate through pain and suffering, is that Jesus is saying is that God will always keep his promises, but he does not promise to meet my expectation. And so what is it? It's continue to partner with God and partner with Holy Spirit day after day after day is that pain and suffering is a battleground. Is that pain and suffering can either sweeten and deepen us, or it can poison and imprison us. The choice is ours. We have a choice to run towards God or a choice to run away from God. What happens when we run towards God? Thanks, that's a great question. John 16 says like this, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. You'll have suffering in this world. Be courageous, I have conquered the world. I've told you these things so that you may be in peace. You will have suffering. None of us are exempt from pain and suffering. But he says, be courageous, for I have conquered the world. In our pain and suffering, Jesus is promising us two things. He's promising us peace for our present. And I prophesied peace over your life today. And in the midst of whatever you're going through, God's promises, his peace is available right now. The second thing he makes available is courage for the future. He gives us peace for now and courage for tomorrow. The courage to face that financial situation, the courage to face that relationship crisis, the courage to face the next round of radiation or chemotherapy, whatever it is, that God would give you peace right now and he would give you courage for your next step. I'm prophesying that in your heart today. And whenever pain and suffering come, you remember these words, that God's peace is available right now, but courage for next step and next step and next step. And Jesus offers these two things. Why? Because he's overcome the world. Is that I've got good news today, is that suffering does not have the final word. Is that pain does not have the final word. Death doesn't even have the final word. God has the final word. And he's saying to each and every one of us, would you keep the faith? We just stay in that place of faith in this battleground we find ourselves in on a daily basis. Don't stumble. Keep the faith. My final observation as the musicians are coming today as to how we navigate and deal with pain and suffering is we have to immerse our story in a much bigger story. Would you immerse your story in a much bigger story? As I talk to humanity, we all have broken stories. And some may seem irreparable. I wonder how you fix a broken story. How do you fix a story that has not worked out as anticipated or planned? How do you fix the broken story you found yourself in right now? I found the way you fix a broken story is you immerse it in a much bigger story. And I'm so grateful that the Word of God gives us this much bigger story. Because this word reveals a God who makes himself known through pain and suffering. As Chris just shared so beautifully around communion, is that Jesus suffered. And that's the biggest story. Is that we have a God who knows what it is to be in pain and suffering. Isaiah 53 says that he was a man of sorrows and he was familiar with suffering. Is that Jesus goes to a cruel, cruel cross to bring redemption, the ability for you and I to be in relationship with God, promise of eternal life. Is that pain and suffering is a personal problem and therefore it must, and it demands a personal response. And we have a God who's not so distant or not so absent from our lives. He would clothe himself in humanity. He'd come and dwell amongst us. That's the biggest story. He would suffer like we suffer. But more than suffer like us, the bigger story is that he suffered for us. He suffered for each and every one of us, and that's the biggest story, and that's the ability for you and I to take our broken story, whatever that looks like right now, and immerse it in this bigger story. You have a God who is love and God who is for you, a God who has not just suffered like us but suffered for you and I, that we could have eternity in relationship with him. This morning I want to ask you some questions. Are you in pain? he was. Are you broken? He was. Are you rejected? And have you been despised? He was. Have you cried out, Father, I can't take this anymore? He also did. Have you had family maybe turn your back on you in your hardest time you've been through? His did. Have you had your closest friends desert you at your time of greatest need? His did. Would you take your broken story and would you immerse it in the bigger story that God is love and God is good and God is all powerful and God loves you? Romans says it like this. Verse 18 of chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Is that there's a future glory awaiting us. Keep the faith. I started with this passage and I'll end with this passage. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and he will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said these words, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and these faithful. Can we all just be upstanding today? We have a few moments, and as I've been praying this week for you as a church, I don't know where everyone is situated and located in their journey. I don't know necessarily the ones that are in pain and suffering, but I do know this, we all go through times of pain and suffering and heartbreak and heartache. And I wanna open up our altar today. And if you wanna respond, if you're in that place of pain, I know when we go to the doctor, when we're in pain, the doctor will always ask this question, from 1 to 10, can you tell me how your pain level is? And it helps with diagnosis. And today, as I open up this altar, it doesn't matter if you're a 1 or if you're a 10, is that pain is pain and it's painful and it hurts. But I do know that we have an incredible God that is for us and with us. He's a good God. He's a God of love. He's a God who is all powerful. And in your pain right now, we got our prayer team that would just love to join with you. And we're going to pray that your faith would remain in this time. It's a time where you run into the presence of God. And this I know about the character and nature of God is that he'll never ever let you down, hey? He might not come through at the times where we need him to come through, but he'll always come through at the right time because he's constantly a good. He's doing good behind the scenes of each and every one of our lives, working things out for good. So we're going to sing through this song. And if you're like that this morning, you're saying, hey, you know what? I just want someone to agree with me in my place of pain and place of suffering is that Jesus will meet you at this place. So as we start to sing this song, I would ask you just come forward. We'd love to pray with you. God bless.